Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost anointed the disciples with tongues of men to miraculously proclaim the wonderful works of God. While all Christians might not speak with the tongues described in 1 Corinthians, all born-again, Spirit-filled disciples are anointed by God to proclaim the wonderful gospel of God's grace to sinners. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 2, verse 5, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his message on verses 1 through 13.
At this point in time, 50 days after Jesus rose again from the dead, the most hostile place to be a Christian is in Jerusalem. Jesus literally turned things upside down. And to be a follower of Jesus was very, very dangerous or risky. And yet, right there, God pours out his Spirit upon 120, and they become evangelists for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened to them on the day of Pentecost is what God intends to happen in your life and in my life. We're all called to function in different parts of the body, different ministry gifts, whether they be ascension ministry gifts from Ephesians 4, motivational gifts from Romans chapter 12, or even the charismatic gifts. But one thing every born-again believer displays, which is evidence of their new birth, is that they are going to be people who share the gospel. Amen? That's what's happening here. It's just not Peter. It's just not the apostles. Every one of them are speaking in an unknown language the wonderful works of God. Well, I just got ahead of myself a little bit, but let me read ahead. And so there were dwelling, verse 5, at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Side note, these men were devout. This is Pentecost. The historian Josephus, the Jewish historian Josephus, tells us that in this Pentecost, there may have been anywhere from between 2.5 to 3 million people on the Temple Mount. So these people are devout. You and I may know people who are not born again, but they're devout, right? I mean, they're by human standards godly, they're religious, they go to church, they're moral, they're devout. Here's devout people who need to hear the gospel. And sometimes it's the most devout people who are most resistant to hearing the gospel because they believe that the only ones that the gospel is to go towards is those who are junkies or harlots or alcoholics or dropouts because they think that they're pretty righteous. But you know, the prophet Isaiah said, our righteousness apart from Jesus Christ is a filthy rag. And so they here are the first ones to hear the gospel. There was a time when the Jews believed, blinded by the Old Testament, not what it says in the New Testament, that the gospel was only for them, not for the Gentiles. Here on the day of Pentecost, the gospel is now being spread not only to Jews, but to God-fearing Gentiles from other nations. They're hearing the gospel. Now, verse 6 says, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So let's just say that you go to a foreign country, you do not know the language, and you start sharing the gospel with somebody, and God gives you that dialect. That's what it is. He's given you that ability to speak in that language. That's what's happening here. They're hearing you, but you're speaking in a language that you've never been taught. And so they were amazed. They were confounded. They were marveled. And they said one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now, the Galileans were from the northern part of the country. And usually speaking, the Galileans were the individuals who would live off the land. They weren't really the educated kind. They weren't the trained individuals, okay? And so what they're saying here is, how is it that these untrained, unlearned people are speaking in our language? How is it? They're amazed. They're confounded. How is this happening? Remember when they spoke of Jesus, they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He never went to our seminary. He never went to our Bible school. He never took any online classes. And that's the idea here. They're amazed. They're looking at Peter and all of these guys. Can you imagine? And then the 120, they're speaking in this unknown language. How we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And you can read verses 9, 10, and 11 because I know some of you were waiting to hear me read them so that you can laugh when I mispronounce them. I'm not going to do that. But these are from different parts of the then known world. And they heard them speak. They heard them speak in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. Isn't that beautiful? They heard them speak the wonderful works of God. The word for wonderful there is a word that means something, a mega. The wonderful works, the mighty, the mega works of God. Things that are magnificent, things that are majestic, things that are grand, things that are beautiful. And here they are, the 120 of them. You see, we only have Peter's recorded message by the Holy Spirit. But these others are speaking in a language, the mega works of God. What would it be like if just in the church, we cut out all of the nonsense stuff that we hear on the radio and television? And instead of feeding each other with fear and phobia, what about if we just spoke to one another about the wonderful works of God? Wouldn't that be great? To just speak about how great our God is, how wonderful He is, how powerful He is, how majestic He is. That's what the world needs to hear. That's what the world needs to hear. This is what the wonderful works of God that they're preaching are, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of forgiveness of sins. And they're amazed. And here, God gives this audible display, this visual display of His great love for them. And they're just blown away. I can't believe it. When Mary, in her Magnificat, began to give praise unto the Lord, she said in Luke 1:49, for He that is mighty hath done to me, or for me, great things, and holy is His name. The word great there is the same word that is used here in Acts 2:11, wonderful. What about if we just spoke to one another about the great things of God? Don't you love it? The antidote for depression is the great things of God. The antidote for fear is the great things of God. The antidote for confusion is the great things of God. The antidote to death is the great things of God. We need to be speaking about the great things of God. I hope you agree. You can be wrong. Speaking to one another, the great things of God, the mega things of God. You know, our God, the God of Pentecost, is still our God. He's still doing great things, mega things, wonderful things, majestic things. This is what the human soul is craving for. They just don't know it. Just like you and I would go to various places and did various things to try to fill that emptiness inside of us. And then someone preached the gospel and all of a sudden that one thing, the only thing that can satisfy the unsatisfiable you, Christ came in. And now you become a lightning rod for Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, okay, we've been living the last few years and everybody's talking about being a COVID spreader. Well, you know what? We should be a gospel spreader. Yeah? And you go, watch. There. I'm going to infect you with the gospel. There. Take that mask off. Okay. You know, the gospel is really, I mean, it's true. But it's unbelievable, isn't it? It's really unbelievable. When you look at Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 38, Acts chapter 13, verse 38, we read, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that is Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." That's the number one need of every person here this morning or watching online. You may have physical afflictions, emotional afflictions. You may have financial afflictions and needs. Those are important. But the number one need for you today or me today is that you know and receive forgiveness of sins. Through this man, not a church, not a creed, not a denomination, through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, in other words, heads up, lest there come upon you which was spoken of by the prophets, behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man shall declare it unto you. In other words, the gospel is too good to be true. It's unbelievable. It's good news. It doesn't age. It's good news. And he says, beware, lest the time come when you hear the gospel and you say, really? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? I wonder how many of us, remember your, let me ask you this, put it this way. Remember your first Bible? How many of you still have your first Bible? Yes, right? And you know, you look over your first Bible, my first Bible, my first couple of Bibles look like Rand McNally maps. Circles, highlights, exclamation points, colors. And then here you are 40 years later, and you know, you remember the first time you read about Moses dropping the rod, and then God says, pick it up by the tail? No, 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 no. You're supposed to pick it up by the head. Okay, well, okay. Remember reading that, or reading about Jonah getting swallowed by a whale and going, wow, wow, or that donkey talks? Now, here we are, we've grown up. Let's study the book of Jonah. I know, get swallowed by a whale. Saints, if the Bible doesn't cause you to go wow today like it did back then, you need to get back to the place where you open it up and the ink is fresh, and it's alive. This is still a wow book, isn't it? Because our God still is a wow God that does all of these miraculous things. Every one of you is born again. It's a miracle. That's a wow thing. It's a beware, lest it come to a time. Now, taking it out of context, when you read about all of the things we're going to read about in the book of Acts, all of the miracles that were done, the healing that was done, the people that were delivered from demonic possession, demonic oppression, we can read it over and over and over and over again and get so familiar with it that, and then it happened as if, oh, nobody's ever demon-possessed anymore. We can't, you know, I'm going with this. God still ministers to people who had the same problems that the people had in the book of Acts. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through his people. Amen? There's a power that is released when you and I simply share the gospel. Paul, for example, remember Paul had a desire to go to Rome? I love that story. He had a desire to go to Rome. So how did he get to Rome? He went to Rome on the love boat of Acts chapter 27. What a ride. Sometimes God will answer the desire of your heart and get you someplace that you desire to go, that he wants you to go, in a way that is completely different than you would have ever funk it out. Sometimes it's a Euroclodon wind. Sometimes it's the most unusual things. That's one of the beautiful things about walking with the Lord. The longer you walk with him, you don't have any clue what he's going to do. You just know he's going to be faithful. All you have to do is be obedient. He says, go, you go. You don't ask for step two until you take step one. That's not how it works. He got to Rome, and when he got to Rome, he says in Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Notice, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The day that you were born again, the time that you were born again, no matter where it was or how it took place, there was a power that was infused in your soul from heaven above, and you were born again of the Spirit of God, because there's a power to transform a life and to make someone new. That's glorious. And so, in verse 12, they were all amazed. That word means astonished, and were in doubt, disbelief, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Well, of course, they're going to have to be corrected. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. But isn't it interesting how those who looked at what took place on Pentecost mocked them as if they were drunk? Why didn't they understand what was going on? Well, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Their eyes are blinded. They don't see it. They don't understand it. That's why sometimes when you and I are sharing with people, just like there was a time when people were sharing with us, we may not have gotten it immediately. We're wondering, this is strange. This is weird. What are you talking about? This is gibberish. Get me out of here. So the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God. And so they're just not connecting the dots. But it is interesting, this being drunk with wine idea. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we read, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the phraseology, be filled there, is be ye being filled with the Spirit. Now, bear in mind, in the book of Ephesians, he's saying be filled with the Spirit to those who were predestinated, those who were chosen, those who were called, those who were sealed. He tells them, you keep on being filled with the Spirit. Do you need to be ye? I want to be a be ye being filled believer. I don't know about you. That's what I want. I want to be ye being filled. And if they don't want to be ye being filled, give me what they don't want. Be ye being filled. You see, when a person is under the control or influence of alcohol, they are no longer in control. A foreign substance is. And you act and say and do things that sadly are sinning against God and hurting others. And I don't want to bring up any bad memories. But when you are under the control of the Spirit of God, you are also under the control of others. It's not like you lose control. The Spirit of God is self-control. And now you are under the influence, the divine influence of God. And how you think and how you speak and how you behave is going to cause you and I to walk and talk and live more like Jesus. I said a moment ago that you're in a prime position to receive the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, I told the first service, if my children come to me and they ask me for bread or fish or an egg, I say, just talk to mom. Only kidding, I thought maybe. In other words, of course not. That sounds ridiculous. Of course not. You're not going to give your son, if he asks you for bread, a stone. If he asks you for a fish, you're not going to say, here's a cobra, put some mustard on it. If he asks you for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. If you then, notice carefully the contrast, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Question. I suggest to you, this is personal, that what Jesus is talking about is not what happened on the day of Pentecost. They weren't asking for anything. It was poured out upon them. I suggest to you that this is something that you and I, when we are in that time of needing, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Have you ever been in a time? Have you ever been at a situation? Have you ever been in a place where there you are, and all of a sudden you are just, Lord, I need your spirit. Anybody? I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your direction. I need a word of wisdom. I need a word of knowledge. Lord, I need it. He says, yes, I will give it to you. So maybe some of you right there or watching online, there's something that right now you're needing, you're wanting, you're desiring from the Lord. Just ask him quietly, Lord, right now, touch me. He doesn't need to fill this place with a sound of a rushing mighty wind. That does not need to be the cloven tongues. Right now, Lord, touch us. Fill us with your spirit. I've got an assignment this afternoon. I've got something going on this week at work. I've been witnessing to this gal at the gym. I've got this meeting with, fill in the blanks. God will fill you with his spirit. He will. Do you believe that? Isn't that what he said? You being evil, know how to give good gifts. Giving the Holy Spirit is a good thing. You never have to be afraid of asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He won't put a demon in you. And don't let anybody tell you that he will. Okay. I never want to assume that whenever we are gathered together or people watching online, that everybody here or everybody watching online knows what it means to be born again. The Bible tells us that since Adam fell in the garden, every person is born into this world biologically and spiritually in Adam. In Adam, you and I are separated from God. We are alienated from the life of God. And what you and I need is a new life. What we need is to be transformed on the inside. Now, the bad news is that you cannot save yourself. Moralism cannot save you. Religion cannot save you. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's you going to him. No need of a mediator. You don't need a priest, a pope, anyone. A pastor, you go to him immediately. And if you cry out to him, if you believe that he died on the cross for your sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again, he will forgive you. He will give you a new life. He will plant himself inside of you. You will become a temple of the Holy Ghost today. And if that's you, after we're done singing, there will be men up front, men in the back. Or if you're watching online and you want to hear more about this, please call us. You need to be born again. You need to be made a new creation. Dr. Tim Keller said, after creation, God said it is finished, and he rested. After redemption, Jesus said it is finished, and we can rest. He said it's finished, and you can rest in him today. It's done. It's over. It's finished. That's good news, isn't it? Jesus didn't say on the cross to be completed or to be continued. And I know that there's needs out there just like there's needs up here. We are perpetually needy people, and we serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.